Good morning. Thank you for joining us as this time of worship and praise to the Lord and fellowship for our faith in Christ. Special welcome to guests that have joined us this morning. We appreciate you coming our way. Open your Bibles, please, to Philippians chapter 2, the text that Tyler read in our hearing a few moments ago. We're going to start in verse 19 in just a few moments. But first, I'd like to mention something. Have you ever gone to a ball game, at halftime? You arrived at a football game and it's halftime. Did you feel a little bit cheated? Maybe so. There was a lot of good action in the first half, right? And you missed that. You're glad you're there for the second half, but you missed the first half. And that's the way it is, to be honest. If you're missing Bible classes, you're coming in at halftime. We're glad you're here for the second half, but we really wish you'd come for Bible classes as well. Come and join us at 10 o'clock in the morning. We have two adult Bible classes. We have children's Bible classes, an opportunity to immerse ourselves into the Word of God, learn from each other, and enjoy feasting on the Word of God. 10 o'clock Sunday mornings. See us then. We'd be glad you're there. This morning I'd like to share a lesson on affirming others. And this lesson is actually based in Philippians chapter 2. Our series is we're going through the book of Philippians. We're seeing how Paul frames the good life. Where is the good life found? Of course it's found in Christ. But what are some aspects of the good life? And in this text we'll be exploring today in Philippians chapter 2, verse 19 through 31, we will see how, 19 through 30, excuse me, how Paul tells us that the good life comes from affirming others, and he leads by example. We're going to learn from Paul this morning the blessing of affirming others. Mark Twain quipped that he could live for 2 weeks on a good compliment. How about you? 2 weeks. That's pretty good, isn't it? And you know, we need a few compliments every couple of weeks, don't we? We need someone to feed us. We need someone to encourage us. We all need that. It's a human need. As we're going through the book of Philippians in search of the Lord's teachings on the good life, we've noticed some important lessons. Expressing gratitude, holding on to hope, turning lemons of life into lemonade. We've discussed the mind of Christ, thinking not only of ourselves, but also others, that the gospel is getting ourselves outside of ourselves to a degree. That it's not all about me, it's about each other as well. We've seen the importance of obeying the Lord. Last week we talked about the quicksand of contempt, how easy it is to fall into a contemptuous attitude. Our society is feeding that today. This morning we want to talk about the positive side of affirming others and the blessing that brings us in our lives. So with your Bibles open, Philippians chapter 2, verse 19 through 24, we want to see what Paul said about Timothy and how Paul complimented Timothy to the Philippians. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I may also be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. For everyone looks after his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proven himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. And I'm confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. Now, Paul is writing from Rome, most likely. He is under arrest. He's a prisoner. And he is writing about Timothy. Now, the Philippians know Timothy. You see, Timothy joined Paul's missionary journeys in Acts chapter 16, verse 1, and it was a little later on in the latter part of chapter 16 that Paul shows up in Philippi and preaches the gospel there. No doubt Timothy was with him. So Timothy knows these people, these Philippians, to which Paul is addressing this letter. And Paul, in the midst of prison, is going to have a positive experience of equipping others with encouragement. You see, even when you're on a down day, even when you're on a low day, you have an opportunity to reach out to somebody and to help them. And Paul's doing that. He's in prison, and what's he doing? He is complimenting Timothy to the Philippians. He is saying a good word about Timothy. What does he say? He says that Timothy has a genuine interest in the Philippians' welfare, verse 20. That Timothy has proven himself. He is a proven track record of the servant of Jesus Christ. No doubt that means both in skill and in heart. And Timothy has become like a son to the Apostle Paul. That's an endearing comment, isn't it? When Paul addresses Timothy as his son. Those are wonderful things to say about Timothy. But then we're not done. Take a look at verse 25 through 30 with me when Paul begins to compliment Epaphroditus, verse 25 through 30. "But I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill. He almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I'm all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad, and that I may have less anxiety. Welcome him in the Lord with great joy, and honor men like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for your help that you could not give me." Epaphroditus is a member of the Philippian congregation. The Philippians have sent him to minister to Paul while he's in jail. And we see that in chapter 1 and chapter 4. Epaphroditus had delivered gifts from the Philippian Christians to help Paul. By the way, did you ever get a care package when you were in college or in the military? You know what I'm talking about, a care package? You know, that little box that comes to the post office, and you know it's full of mom's homemade cookies. And you're kind of hoarding them as you go back to the dorm because you're afraid to open them beforehand, because if your friends find out that you got a whole box of cookies from home, they're going to be gone in a hurry. I remember those care packages in college. Well, Epaphroditus had come with a care package, if you will, from the Philippians to the Apostle Paul. And now Paul is saying, this guy, your member Epaphroditus, he's ministered to me, he's been a great help, but he got sick and almost died, and I want to send him home to you. It was so good of you to send him, but he really belongs back in Philippi. But he's going to send this letter and compliment Epaphroditus, just like he complimented or affirmed Timothy. Now let's take a look at possible effects of the positive nature of Paul's words. Kids say something like this: "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me." That's called a lie, folks, because words do hurt, don't they? Words hurt, but words also heal. And when you compliment someone, when you encourage someone, when you affirm someone, it's a tremendous blessing. Notice what happens here with Epaphroditus and Timothy and Paul's compliments and affirmations of them. Paul's words about Timothy and Epaphroditus were a blessing, they were a compliment, and they were encouragement. Paul knew that affirming others leads toward the good life. Good life for those that you speak about, because they're complimented, they're affirmed, they're lifted up. Good words for those who hear about this, i.e. in this case the Philippians, because they're encouraged. They know Timothy, they know Epaphroditus. They're going, hey, those guys are my folks, those are good people. But it's also a blessing for the one who gives the affirmation. Paul was blessed while in prison to affirm others. As I mentioned earlier, if you're feeling down, if you're feeling low, the best thing to lift your spirits is to reach out to somebody else and affirm them and bless them. So it was a win-win-win. It was a win for Paul because he was the one giving the affirmations. It was a win for Timothy and Epaphroditus because they were receiving them. It was a win for the Philippians because they were overhearing it and knew these brothers. How do you think the Philippians felt about Timothy and Epaphroditus when they read these words? They were their messengers. They were from Philippi. They knew these folks. That would just affirm them even more. How do you think the Philippians felt about Paul when they heard that Timothy and Epaphroditus affirmed? It would endear Paul to the Philippians, wouldn't it? Even more. And how do you think these words affected Timothy and Epaphroditus themselves? Well, of course, it was a blessing. Everybody needs to hear something good that's going on in their life. And how do you think Timothy and Epaphroditus felt about Paul after reading these words? Well, that would endear Paul to them, wouldn't it? And how do you think Timothy and Epaphroditus felt about dealing with the Philippian Christians after reading these words? Again, it would build the relationships. You see what that affirmation does? You see what that encouragement does? It builds the relationships. It gives hope. It gives encouragement. It builds connection. That's what it all does. These words were a win for Paul. They were a win for Timothy and Epaphroditus, and they were a win for the Philippian brethren. And that's what affirmation does. Everybody wins. Everybody wins. Let's look at some lessons from Paul's affirmations. Everybody needs to be affirmed, appreciated, and recognized to some degree on occasion. Because affirmations confirm value. And affirmations remind us of what matters. Affirmations remind us that people matter more than politics. They matter more than projects. They matter more than production. People is what it's about. Everything else is just a means. We tend to live up to the good others see in us. Positive affirmations bring out the best in others. And positive affirmations empower us to risk and to take chances and to be our best. Now, let me give you a word here that you may not expect. Do not be expect to be affirmed by people that you lead. Be respected, yes, but not likely to be affirmed. Affirmation tends to flow down the social ladder. Respect tends to flow up the social ladder. A recent study was done to try to find the missing ingredient of workplace productivity. And the study concluded that affirmation topped the list of what employees wanted most from their supervisors. Does that surprise you? I thought everybody wanted a raise. I thought everybody wanted an extra week of vacation. Now, those are good things, and those are in some ways types of affirmation. But employees need to hear you're doing a good job. That was a good job. They need to hear these things. Affirmation is like planting a seed in the soil of the human heart, and it opens doors to possibilities. Affirmations reduce stress, produce positive brain activity, counteract negative perceptions, even help with mild depression. Paul practiced what he preached when he affirmed Timothy and Epaphroditus. Because listen to these quotes from other writings in Paul. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you're doing. Well, Paul, do you do any of that? He absolutely did. Case in point from Philippians 2, Timothy and Epaphroditus. Paul practiced what he preached. Or think of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 and 30. Paul writes, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who are listening. Or Philippians 4, 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think or dwell about those things. Paul said, accentuate the positive, dwell on the positive, seek good in others. That was part of Paul. We find this in the Old Testament, too, the importance of gracious words, affirming words. Proverbs 16 reminds us, gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. Or Proverbs 25, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. We know these verses. We practice these verses when we affirm others. Now, affirming applies value to lives. You know, we talk about appreciation. We talk about property appreciating in Vallejo. Property has appreciated in Vallejo. If you're a homeowner, that's good. If you're renting, it's not so good, right? Because that means rents have gone up. We know what appreciation is like in real estate. What appreciation is some saying the value has changed, the value has increased. And that's what we do when we appreciate someone, is we are communicating to them that your value has appreciated, it has increased. It is, you are even more valuable. Now, how do we do that? It's not all just saying you did a good job. That's part of it. Let me give you some ways that you can affirm people. You can appreciate them. Number one, notice them. Notice them. Make eye contact. Nod. Speak to them. If you're about 10 feet away from people in a public situation, acknowledge their existence. That says volumes. Even if you don't say more than good morning or nod to them, that's an acknowledgement of their existence. In our Welcome to the Family seminar, we saw how important it is to notice our church guests who are with us and just not a word of welcome to them when we're in close proximity to them. Now, confession time. I am an introvert at heart. You may not realize that, but I am. But over time, I have trained myself to be more forward than I am by nature because it's so necessary. Now, I am not going to speak to all 150 of you this morning. Okay? You understand that? But I want to speak to a lot of you. But I'm not going to speak to all 150 of you. If we're going to do that, you know, we might be here till about 12:30 or 1, and you might not like that because you're going to be hungry for lunch. So I'm not saying that everybody has to speak to everybody in church, okay? But I am saying we need to reach out to others and notice people, and that's a way of affirming them. Number two, call people by name when you know them. You know, when you call me by name, my ears kind of perk up and I listen. Just don't call me by my full name. If you say Mark Thurston McLean, I have memories of my parents calling me that name when I'm in trouble. So, you know, you just call me Mark, okay? Full name's not needed. Just call me Mark. But call people by name. Number three, listen to them. If speaking to people affirms them or values them, listening to them heightens that valuation. Few things say you matter more than a sincere listening ear. Learn to open a conversation by asking an open question and listen attentively. We do that even in simple ways when we say, "Hi, how are you?" We're just giving people an opportunity to respond. That's an open thing. Most people are not going to respond with an organ recital when you say, "Hi, how are you?" Right? You know, the liver's this and the lungs are that and the heart's that. Most people are not going to do that, but they'll respond in some way. Usually they'll say something about their week or some event that was meaning for them, and how they will likely say, "How are you?" That's part of the social niceties. But listening to people affirms them, shows value. James reminds us everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Paul wrote to the Galatians in chapter 6, "Share one another's burdens and therefore fulfill the law of Christ." And by the way, thank you for affirming me by listening to me today. I appreciate that. Another way we affirm people is we applaud their contributions. I'm not talking about the collection contributions, just in case you're wondering. I'm talking about the good things they do at the home, in the office, in the workplace, in the church. And Paul did that when he affirmed Timothy and Epaphroditus. He affirmed the good things that they were doing. He applauded the good. Next, show concern for people, as individuals, not simply what they do. It's good to applaud people for what they do that's helpful and encouraging. But at the same time, we don't want to only applaud performance. We want to applaud them because they're people, because they matter. So show concern for them, not just as what they produce, but because they are a person. And say positive things in positive ways. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, "Speak only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs." Did you catch that? It's not so much just what you needed to say, it's what they needed to hear, what you perceive they needed to hear. Now, when I was in Toastmasters a number of years ago, Toastmasters is a great organization for people who are kind of scared of public speaking to break into it. And I was a member for a while, and you have to critique each other. That's part of the learning and growth process, is you give a speech and somebody else has to critique that speech. Well, it's kind of hard to be critiqued, isn't it? So we were taught, here's the way you critique somebody in love. You give them an Oreo. Not literally. You know, I'm sure that wouldn't hurt, but you give them an Oreo sandwich. You tell them something you liked. And then the middle is the part that you wish that they would improve. And then you tell them something else that you liked. So you give them an Oreo sandwich. You give them a positive, something you wish they would change and correct. And then you give them another positive. And that's a lot easier to hear than just hearing, "You did that bad. You messed up." Or, you know, "The worst thing is this." You need a loving critique. And when I was in Toastmasters, I knew if I was critiquing someone else, next week they were going to be critiquing me. So I learned to do it with a spirit of gentleness. Not perfectly, but I learned to be a little gentler with my critiques because I knew I would be eating the Oreo cookie next week. That's the way life is. So it's positive things in positive ways. Use the Oreo cookie approach if it helps. There are many ways we affirm people. These are just some of them. And if you don't know what to say, here are some words that might fit in a particular occasion. Thanks for being there for me. I'm proud of you. You're so good at that. You amazed me today. You made me a better person. I appreciate you. You made a difference for me. Those are all affirming words. Another way we affirm people is to pray for them and let them know that we're praying for them. Don't be ashamed to say, I'm praying for you. If they've shared a burden, something that's on their heart and ask you to pray for them, let them know that you're praying for them. Send them a text tomorrow just saying, praying for you today. Those little bits of affirmation make a world of difference in relationships. And by the way, when you pray for somebody, not only are you affirming their value, but prayer changes people and prayer changes things. There's a saying, love is something when you give it away, you end up having more. Do you remember that in a song? The same is true for loving affirmation. Every time you bless someone with a word of affirmation, of encouragement, of appreciation, of value, you receive a blessing, just like Paul received a blessing in affirming Timothy and Epaphroditus. And when you overhear a compliment being given to someone else, particularly if it's someone you know, you are blessed by hearing that, aren't you? And when you give that compliment, that affirmation, you are blessed as the giver. You know what Jesus said? It's more blessed to give than to receive. That applies to affirmation as well. So it's a win-win-win. The giver wins, the receiver wins, those who overhear it all win. That's the good life. When we follow Paul's example, and learn how to positively affirm and build people. We've noticed in previous weeks many different aspects of the good life from the book of Philippians. But really it comes down to submitting ourselves to Jesus Christ, saying yes, Lord, as we mentioned in a sermon several weeks ago, saying yes, Lord, to the Jesus, letting him have his way with us. Inviting him into our hearts, not in the sense that you often hear in the religious world, but in the biblical sense of faith and repentance and baptism, a submission of our will to him. That's inviting him to do his work in our hearts. It's inviting his spirit to be at work within us, to come within us and be at work within us. That's what leads us to the good life. And the longer we hold the Lord at bay, the longer we say no, Lord, the longer we put him off, the harder it is to say yes. So make your yes today. Not a yes to me, but a yes to Jesus. A yes to his rule and reign as Lord and King. If you need to make a public response to the call of Christ, do it right now. Let's stand together and let's sing.